This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The tents and grandstand at the finish line have come down. Runners are nursing their muscles. And the entire region continues to breathe a sigh of celebratory relief at yesterday's successful running of the 118th Boston Marathon.
Here's Boston Athletic Association race director Dave McGillivray reflecting on the marathon at a press conference earlier today.
I know we're here and the dust hasn't settled yet, but next year, what's it going to be? Well, this year was recovery, healing, processing, and then conceptualization of what 2014 would be, and then planning and execution. Next year, at least we don't have to recover, and we don't necessarily have to heal, and we don't necessarily have to process. We can get right at it.
Well, what does getting right at it really mean now? We want to take a moment to look ahead to the future of the Boston Marathon, the effect that this year's race may have had on the sport of running as a whole as well. And to do so, we're joined by Cameron Strocker. He's author of Kings of the Road, a book about three giants of running, Frank Shorter, Bill Rogers, and Alberto Salazar. Strocker joins us from Westport, Connecticut. Cameron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Also with us is Boston Globe sports reporter Shira Springer. She ran her 14th marathon yesterday in Boston. Shira, great to have you back as well.
Thanks for having me.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling actually pretty good.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that because 26.2 miles in what was warmer than expected temperatures isn't the easiest thing in the world. But other than that, Shira, how did yesterday's race differ from the 13 other marathons that you have run?
Well, I think the overwhelming difference was, and I say overwhelming intentionally, was just the spirit of generosity. I mean, it was very strange, but also nicely strange to have everyone you saw, everyone you met, everyone you encountered say thank you. Thank you to the runners. Thank you to the volunteers. Thank you to the police officers. I mean, I felt I was going 26.2 miles and people were just shouting, you can do it, and thank you all around. So that was a real difference.
And Cameron, you were watching the race like many of us were on through the broadcast of the race. What feeling did you have as you watched the more than 30,000 runners make their way through the cities and towns onto Boston?
You know, I think I felt the way that I described Tommy Leonard in my book, feeling when he saw Frank Shorter take the lead in the 1972 Olympic marathon. And for the first time, it seemed like an American in 64 years was going to win the signature event at the Olympics. I felt this like surge of pride and excitement. And I was streaming it in my office. So I'm sitting at my computer and I'm yelling out to people outside. I don't know how many of them are really interested in the marathon, but I'm yelling, an American is leading, an American is leading, Meb is leading. And it was just... it was an awesome feeling.
Yeah. Now, Meb, of course, is Meb Keflezighi, who became the first American man yesterday to win the Boston Marathon in 31 years. Now, Shira, you were still on the course when Meb crossed the finish line. I mean, how did you find out that he had won, and what was the reaction amongst runners as news trickled back?
Yeah, it was very strange, but great. As spectators started passing along the word that an American had won, I was approaching the half marathon mark, and all of a sudden we started hearing, an American won, an American won. And we were like, the women's race, the men's race? And there's a bit of confusion. And then it was like, an American won the men's race. And then all of a sudden, who was it? Who was it? Who was it? And then we found out it was Meb. And people were just like, really? And there was a little bit of shock, and then there was sort of a kind of as much of a discussion as you can have while you're running 26.2 yeah. miles. People around me were saying, can you believe that? Wow, that's great, especially in this year. You know, we were all kind of reflecting in a very small, brief commentary way about how great it was to have not only an American win, but American win in the year after the bombing.
Right. So, Shira, this is exactly the point that we were all wondering today. I mean, you've been covering sports for a long time. What effect do you think Meb Keflezighi's win at Boston yesterday might have on the popularity of marathons and running as a sport as a whole in the United States?
Well, as an avid marathoner and as somebody I consider sort of a distance running, I consider myself a bit of a distance running evangelist. I like people to get into the sport and become enthusiastic about it. I would hope that it would inspire a lot of more marathoners, a lot more people to become interested in running distance races on the roads, much like, you know, earlier running booms. Unfortunately, I think, you know, if you look back, Meb also won the 2009 New York City Marathon, and it didn't really inspire a running boom in America then. But what I do think is there's going to be a little bit of a boomlet in Boston, mm-hmm. and we're going to see more people interested in running marathons and other road races. Already I've been getting emails and, you know, calls from people saying, oh, can you recommend a 5K? Can you recommend a 10K, a local half marathon? They want to be part of distance running in some way. It may not be the marathon, but I think in Boston in particular, we're going to see increased interest just based off of Meb's win and also the intense interest in this year's marathon.
Cameron, do you agree with that? Because it seems that she was saying that there might be, she exactly said there might be a little boomlet right here in the Boston area. Could we see that boomlet spread, you know, across the rest of the nation to anyone who even had a casual interest in running before yesterday?
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, I agree with Shira that, you know, Meb did win New York in 2009. You didn't necessarily see a boost from it. But I also have a feeling that there's a stirring going on. You know, you have to remember that in 2012 at the Olympics, Galen Rupp almost won the 10,000 meter. He came past all the other runners and grabbed silver right behind Mo Farah from Great Britain. And also Leo Manzano won the 1500 meter race. So there were some, you know, there were some stirrings before this. We also remember Shalane Flanagan was winning the women's race yesterday for a good portion of it. So she's a runner to watch as well. There seem to be a number of Americans in the distance running community who are really beginning to compete on an international level. And maybe this race is the race that will kick us all up a notch and, you know, bring back some of those really speedy times that we used to do so well at.
I would say I would hope that would be the case, and as someone who is actually in London to witness live Galen Rupp's race against Mo Farah, and was also in Beijing in 2008 when Shalane Flanagan won bronze in the 10,000 meter on the track there, you know, there's something very stirring, as you say, about these American runners running fast. But I also feel sometimes from being there live to witnessing it on TV or maybe just hearing about it, it doesn't always translate into active participation. And I wish it did more. I wish these performances, because when you see them live, they're quite inspirational and quite awe-inspiring. And I wish and hope that it does reach a larger audience that will get up off their couches and go out the door for a run
right
on the Charles or wherever.
Well, Cameron, let me ask you, because your book, Kings of the Road, really focuses in on one of the last times that American running and famous American runners were basically household names even outside the world of runners. I mean, Bill Rogers, Alberto Salazar, Frank Shorter. Part of the reason why was not only were they running fast, but they had this, you know, the camaraderie and the competition between the three men. I mean, there was a whole, athletic and sportsman culture that they were bringing and showing on top of their athletic achievement, in these races. So it was the spirit of running plus the actual physical act. And I'm wondering if you think that what we saw in Boston yesterday regarding the spirit of what running can mean, along with the physical act of 30,000 people doing it for not just, you know, the sake of their cardiovascular fitness, but that emotional feedback that they get, could that be something that leads to an analogous boom that we saw in the 80s?
It could be, but I think that the key thing that made the running boom happen in the 70s was the presence of those three men, and then later Joan Benoit as well, mm-hmm. and Greta Weitz, who really I think of as an American, even though she's not. It would not have happened, I don't think, if it had just been Frank Shorter winning the 1972 Olympic marathon. There was a historic moment, there was a moment, a cultural moment, where running became part of people's lives. Shorter made it more interesting, but it was the Shorter Rogers rivalry, I think, that really made America into a nation of runners. And then it was the Salazar Rogers rivalry that kept it going. So maybe we're at that moment, but if what we're left with is Meb winning a great race in Boston and then fading from the scene, and he is 38 years old, so I don't know how many other great races we're going to get from him without a narrative, someone else to bring that story along. It may just be a singular moment, and it may not be the boom.
Yeah, well, let's hope that that's not the case. Cameron Straker, author of Kings of the Road, thanks so much for joining us today, Cameron.
Thank you.
And Shira Springer, sports reporter for the Boston Globe, who ran her 14th marathon in Boston yesterday. Always great to have you, Shira. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me again.
And one more marathon story, this one from someone who came from a very long way to run in yesterday's race. Tony Booty is a member of the state parliament in Western Australia, which is pretty much as far away from Boston as any place on the planet. He's run several marathons in Australia. He's run the New York Marathon. He was planning to run Boston last year, but never made it. But he did yesterday and finished the race in 3 hours, 19 minutes, 51 seconds. And he joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston, Tony. Great to have you.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Yeah, and congratulations on your finish. Tell us when you set your sights on running the Boston Marathon. How old were you when? I mean, what did Boston mean to you?
You know, it's funny, Anthony. Even though Perth, Western Australia, is such a long way away from Boston, I remember being in elementary school. It would have been about 11 or 12. Hmm. And the teacher was just talking about the Boston Marathon, the traditions of the Boston Marathon. This is in the 1970s. Hmm. And also talked about Heartbreak Hill and saying this is the most famous marathon in the world. And it just lighted something in my imagination. And I always thought, gee, wouldn't it be fantastic to run the Boston Marathon? But then I realized you had to have a qualifying time. So for the next 20-odd years, while I always maintained an interest and followed who would win the Boston Marathon, I never ever thought that I would have the opportunity to run in the Boston Marathon. And people were always talking about the New York Marathon, which I was lucky enough to run in 2011 as being the great marathon. And I kept telling them, no, the Boston Marathon is the one. It's the one with the longest tradition, and you have to qualify. It's the marathoner's marathon.
It's really the runner's race, isn't it?
It is, and that was played out yesterday. So when the opportunity came last year to run in the Boston Marathon, I registered over a qualifying time. I was really keen to run last year, and as you mentioned in your introduction, I'm a member of the Parliament of Western Australia, and we actually had a general election in March of 2013. And from all indications, Parliament wasn't going to be reconvened until May. So I thought there'd be no problems about me coming over to participate in the 2013 Boston Marathon. And a week before the Boston Marathon, I found out that Parliament was going to be recalled early. So it meant that I wasn't going to be able to come over. So I had to withdraw, and I was really, really upset. And I remember there's a 12-hour difference between Perth and mm-hmm. Boston. And the night before, back home, I went on to the webcam on the computer and was having a look at the Boston Common. And it was a lovely, cool morning. And I was lamenting the fact that I wasn't there to run the Boston Marathon. Well, then a few hours later, I was out on my morning run. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and maybe a bit earlier, and I get a phone call. I had my mobile phone with me, and it's my son who'd been up early, and he said, Dad, there's a bomb that's gone off at the finishing line of the Boston Marathon. I said, what are you on about? And anyway, then I got to my destination, and there was a number of text messages from people saying, are you okay? Are you in Boston, et cetera, et cetera.
Because some people thought you were still in Boston.
Right? Some people thought I was in Boston. Yeah. And it was a strange feeling. Of course, the instant reaction was, gee, aren't I fortunate that I didn't go to Boston? But immediately then I thought, gee, I wish I was there. I wish I was there with the running community. And that made me even more determined to come back this year.
So tell me something about when you decided to come back. And there you were yesterday. What questions did you have about running this year in Boston? What did you wonder about the race, what it would be like?
Well, I wondered whether security was going to be so overbearing that it was going to take away from that community magic that is part of the Boston Marathon. And we have to remember, through that bombing last year, what happened was there was no runners that died. It was spectators that died. Mm-hmm. So I think it was very important for runners to say thank you to spectators. I was wondering whether the crowds were going to be fantastic, what was going to be a subdued atmosphere, could people were going to be fearful. But I can tell you one thing. I remember hearing a discussion some time ago about what happened with the bombing was that it took the Boston Marathon away from the people of Boston. And I think there was a really strong determination yesterday that the local community was going to reclaim the Boston Marathon. And you got that from the crowd. I mean, the crowd was phenomenal. And they were cheering on every runner, that they were appreciative that the runners came back. But I think the runners were even more appreciative that the spectators were there.
I'd love for you to tell me a story about the run itself, beginning maybe with that moment of silence before the starting gun in Hopkinton. That sounded like a powerful event.
It was. I mean, this was the second largest field in the Boston Marathon, only second to the centenary, and there was 37,500 runners. And, you know, everyone was, they had that nervous chatter. There was a lot of noise at the village, and then the announcer said that we'll be having a moment of silence to remember and reflect on what happened last year at 9:51. And then he announced, could we all be quiet now for a minute of silence? And within 15 seconds, there was total silence, and you could have heard a pin drop. And it was amazing when you had 37,500 runners at the village and also at the start line, and there was complete silence. And I think that was the time where all runners finally realised that, gee, this year's event is so important, not just for them, but for the community of Boston and also the memory of those that lost their lives or have been maimed.
Well, Tony Booty, we're really happy that you came back to Boston and could run yesterday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
That's Tony Booty. He's a parliamentarian from Western Australia. He ran in yesterday's marathon, finishing in just under 3 hours, 20 minutes.
Well, coming up, Massachusetts is on the verge of outlawing a practice that some call barbaric, shackling incarcerated women during labor and childbirth. We'll take a closer look. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.